The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This year, one of the things that's been on my heart and on my mind for our church is this. I think we do a wonderful job of doing so many things. I'm just making sure we do a great job of doing so many things. I mean, we've got so many services and so many ministries and so many different things that our church does. But this year, I told you guys this a couple weeks ago. On my vision board, on my goal for 2026, one of the things I really want our church to do is this, is not just to focus on alleviating problems, not just focus on meeting needs, but to truly and intentionally look at healing people spiritually. And here's why, because as I look through the stories of Jesus, and this morning we're going to look through a couple of different stories, what Jesus does when Jesus heals people is he goes beyond just the physical healing. We're going to look at different stories today where Jesus heals people physically, but the word that is used and the phrase that is used is he healed them, or he was healed, or they were healed. That phrase is so much bigger than just what we read in our text. We read it and we say, okay, great, they were healed. But when you start to dig into it, you start to look at it, he specifically lays out certain things that let you know this is not just physical, but this is also spiritual. And so this morning, if you'll just walk with me for a couple of minutes through some of these texts, I want to look at different people in Scripture who Jesus healed, but how that healing went beyond just physical, and it was spiritual. So that you and I, as we interact with people throughout our week, throughout our month, throughout our year, when we start to have conversations and talk to them, we'll realize that what we're doing and our goal in reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just to provide an alleviation for a temporary set of circumstances or situations that they find themselves in. But what you and I get to do as followers of Christ is when we step into people's lives, we get to help bring spiritual healing to them. And that's a remarkable task that I'm so thankful and grateful that God gives to each of us. The first kind of people that you and I will run into, and one of the first ones we're going to look at that Jesus healed this morning, is those who are unclean. Now, when you talk about those who are unclean in the Scripture, that's going to be somebody who has leprosy. So, the first type of people that we run into are those who are unclean. But here's the thing. Spiritually, what that means is this is somebody who had no way of coming to God. What it meant to be unclean, and if I had leprosy in this time, what that meant is that I was unclean. And it did not matter how much of the Old Testament I could recite, how much of the Book of the Law, the Torah, I could recite. It didn't matter how good of a person I was, or how moral of a person I was, or how much I loved my other leprous brothers and sisters. None of that mattered. As a person with leprosy, I was unable to enter into the temple to be close to God's presence. Now, what does that look like for you and I? These are people that are in our lives that have no Christian friends. They didn't grow up in church. Nobody drugged them to church as a kid. They weren't brought to Sunday school, to vacation Bible school, to those different things. This is somebody who has zero concept of what it means to have a relationship with God through Christ. You say, well, we don't have people like that. Sure we do. You'd be amazed how many people, again, are around us right now who this describes. They have no concept, no way, no idea of how in the world I can have a relationship with God. And so these people, they find themselves desperate, they find themselves looking and searching for answers in everything else other than God. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says this, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, a large crowd followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. When Jesus asked the man what the man wants, the man doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for a soft place to put his head. He doesn't ask for, I can't imagine, but from what people tell me, leprosy is painful, sores everywhere. He doesn't ask for a nice, comfortable bed to sit down on. When Jesus asks the man what he wants, the man says, I want to be made clean. Notice, he doesn't say, I want to be made healed. I want this leprosy to go away. He asked for something specific. He asked to be made clean. His desire, his hope is that Christ could do something that no one else can do. The term is a spiritual term. It throws us back to the spiritual and the ceremonial cleansing that was needed to enter the temple. Someone in this condition could do nothing to change their position. In other words, they had a condition that kept them from God. You realize we all have a condition that kept us from God? I know your church folks, you're here on Sunday morning in a bitter cold Sunday, but like every single one of us had a condition that kept us from God. Had it not been for what Christ did, none of us, not a single one of us, could change our condition in and of ourselves. And if you can just imagine this man as he comes and he kneels before Jesus, he says, "Jesus, I want to be made clean." And Jesus says something remarkable that probably you weren't supposed to do. Anybody catch that? Reach out his hand. Now this is the moment. One of two things is going to happen. Everything Jesus says is a lie, and he's going to be contaminated by this man, and leprosy is going to go from this man to him. Or everything he says is who he is. And when he reaches out that hand, he's not saying, "Hey, listen, I'm going to heal you." He's saying, "I'm going to clean you completely. I'm going to make you clean." And that's what he does. He doesn't say, "Hey, listen, I've healed you." He says, "Hey, listen, I've made you clean." And then he commands the man. He says, "Listen, now go and show yourself to the temple. Offer the sacrifice required of Moses." Why? As a testimony to them. He didn't have to go through ceremonial cleansing when he got to the temple. He didn't have to be made clean again because Christ already made him clean. This was a testimony. This was not a process of cleansing. This is a testimony. To me, I always thought that the first baptism we saw, like you and I believe in believer's baptism, is the Ethiopian eunuch. But actually, I think this is the first baptism. Jesus has made him clean, and so what he does is an outward expression of an inward faith. His faith has saved him. His faith has got, as through in Christ has cleansed him. And so what he now does is he goes and he shows himself as a testimony to other people. So you and I, these are people in our life who they have no way of becoming clean. The other thing is, as we think about these people, you need to think about intentional friendships. And here's what I mean. We all, maybe you don't know somebody like this. Maybe you're like, "I can't think of a single person who doesn't know Christ in my life." That's okay. For a long time, when I was younger, I used to think that I had intentional friendships. And what I meant by this is I was going to befriend people who weren't Christians in order to make them, like, introduce them to the faith. But here was my problem. Where I would go to befriend those people, what I would do to befriend those people. Interesting, Jesus doesn't say, when this interaction happens, it doesn't happen like this, where this man comes before Jesus and says, "Jesus, make me clean." And Jesus says, "Hey, let's go back to your leper colony. Hey, let's go and do something that you normally do and let me become like you." He says, "Hey, listen, you come to me. I make you clean." And then where does he send him? To the temple. See, as you and I reach out to people who don't know God, who don't have a relationship with God, who don't understand what is available through the cross of Christ, we have to be careful in those intentional friendships that what we're doing is extending Christ to them. We're not extending a good time. We're not condoning their behavior. We're not accepting their sin. We are pointing them to Christ. I encourage you. I beg with you. I plead with you. Have intentional relationships in your life with people who do not know Christ. But don't do it just to show them morality. Don't do it with the hopes that through hanging out with you, they're going to act better. Do it with the intention of extending Christ to them. The second type of people we find are people who are blind. Those who are blind are people who spiritually, those with no direction. In Luke chapter 18, you find this story. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was going on. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight. He followed Jesus, praising God. And when the people saw it, they also praised God. You and I interact with people who are blind. Now here's what blindness looks like. It's not that they don't know about God. It's not that there aren't people around them who can teach them about God. But here's what happens a lot of times. And this happens to a lot of church folks. Their image and view of God gets distorted by the people around them. And therefore, they're unable to clearly see what it's like to follow Christ. When you read back to this story, it's interesting. And again, I'm an overactive imagination person, and I'm so sorry. But I can just imagine this guy, and here he is, and he's sitting, and he's begging like he always does every single day. And all of a sudden, he hears a commotion. And I've tried to do this with my eyes closed, and it scares me a little bit because I'm going to run into something I know. But he hears this commotion. He stands up, but he doesn't know where to go. He can't tell because the crowd is so loud all around him. He kind of keeps wondering and trying to figure out, where is Jesus? I can't see him. I hear him. I know what they're talking about. I know who this guy is, but I can't tell what direction I'm supposed to go. And so he does the only thing he knows to do. He screams out, "Jesus, save me!" And all the people around Jesus, "Hey, stop, knock that off. You're going to disrupt him. Stop, be quiet." And they push him away, and they push him in a direction further away from Jesus, instead of saying, "Hey, listen, Jesus, you got to come see this guy. He needs your help." Listen, church, there are lots of people around us who are spiritually blind. They know about Jesus. They understand what it means. But when they come and they try to find him, we introduce them to things like Baptist doctrine. "Have you been dumped? Then you're not going to heaven." We introduce them to things like, "Well, if you're not a church member, I'm sorry, but you're in my pew, and so you have to leave." We introduce them to all these different things, and we complicate the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus wants to do so bad that we distort the image of God, or even worse, we live lives out there differently than we live in here. And in doing so, we distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when people who are blind and desperately seeking spiritually to follow God, they can't get a clear direction of which way they're supposed to go because somebody has come in and distorted the view for them. The word Jesus uses here is that he receives his sight. And what happens after this man receives his sight is he leaves praising God with everyone else. You know what that means? The man who is directionless, who had no direction, who couldn't even figure out how to follow God, leaves following God with everybody else. He finally figured out, because he's received sight, this is the path. This is the direction my life should go. Listen, we say this too many times, I'm afraid. We expect the world to live under a standard that they're not called to live under. And the entire time we judge them for not understanding the truth of the gospel and the truth of the good news of Christ. And so what we do is we look at them in judgment instead of saying, "Hey, listen, let me show you the direction your life should be going in. Hey, let me introduce you to this guy named Jesus Christ." We're the crowd who tells them to stop talking and live like us instead of saying, "Hey, listen, let me bring you to Jesus. And then let's go follow him together." The next type of people you see Jesus healing are people who are broken. Those who are broken are lacking spiritual strength. In John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, it's a long story, but I've got to read it because it's so good. After these things, there was a celebration of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool that is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these were lying a great multitude of ailing, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For the messenger was sent down at that time into the pool to trouble the waters. The first one having gone in after the troubling of the waters became whole of whatever sickness he was held. And there was a certain man there being ill for 38 years, having Jesus having seen him lying and having known that he is already a long time, he says to him, "Do you wish to become whole?" The ailing man answered him, "Lord, I have no man that when the water may be troubled, he may put me into the pool. And while I'm coming, another goes down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take your pallet, and be walking." And immediately the man became whole. He took up his pallet and he walked and was walking. And it was the Sabbath day, and the Jews said to him that he had been the one that had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to take up your pallet." Those who are broken are those who are spiritually lacking strength. Again, we all know these people. They're tired. They've tried time and time again to live a righteous life, and they've failed. Circumstances, situations, different things in life have put setback after setback after setback, and they don't have spiritual strength. See, they believe things like this. They believe that if I have something going wrong in my life, it's because of sin in my life. Because that's what somebody's told them at some point in time. They believe things like if they believe the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, and so they think that they need to give more money to church, or they need to be more active in church, or they think that somehow they can influence and they can impact, and if they have problems in their life, it is because God's mad at them, not because of something that God's doing in their life. These are individuals who are broken, and they're desperately seeking something different for their life, but they can't figure out what it is. Jesus comes along. The phrase there, he healed him in some of your translations. This translation has said it a little differently. It says, he wants to be made whole. Jesus' desire for those people who are broken spiritually is to make them whole. He doesn't want to alleviate the situations. He wants to strengthen their faith. He wants them to realize that while the brokenness is going to exist in their life, it's not for the purpose of breaking them, but sometimes it's the purpose of building them. You may listen, you may be here this morning, and that may be you. Maybe you're broken, maybe you're exhausted, maybe you've tried and you've tried and you've tried, and you're so tired of trying that you don't have any strength. My encouragement and my challenge for you this morning is this: Jesus came to make you whole. To strengthen those things. You say, "Well, that's great, John. How do I strengthen those things?" I'm so glad you asked. We have this wonderful thing here called Wednesday Night Bible Study. Best night of the week. From our nursery all the way up to our adult Bible study. We have a blast. You know why we have a blast there? Listen, I'm going to let you guys know a secret that nobody else knows, okay? This is just between us and whoever watches this next week. You know what 4 years ago my intended purpose in Wednesday night Bible study was? To get you to be able to read God's word for yourself. So that when you read God's word, you say, "Oh, this is what it means." I love it when on Wednesday night, I have to say something like, "You guys have been reading my notes, haven't you?" Guess what? I don't have that many notes. But what all I want you to do is I want you to be able to read and understand God's word for yourself so that when these things happen, when circumstances happen, when life breaks you, your faith is strong. Your faith is strong and you can withstand the breaking that goes on in your life because you know God's word for yourself. Not because some guy sat here and spewed a bunch of good stuff out to you, I hope. Not because some Sunday school teacher taught you this at some point in time. Because as you read God's word, your faith is strong because you know what God's word says. That's my intended purpose on Wednesday nights. That's why our format for Wednesday nights is the way it is. That's why we do books of the Bible. It's open, it's question-based, it's all those different things. It's so that you can understand and grasp how to read God's word for yourself. And in doing so, when those situations and things and circumstances in life try to break you, you would be strengthened. Also, interesting, look at just his legs get strong, right? That's it. Now, I don't know, that's not exactly what happens. His legs get strong, that's the first thing we notice, because he stands up and he walks. But it also says he carries his pallet. Usually, when you see people who just have major surgery or something like that happen, their strength is restored immediately, right? Right, Randy? No. That's why they have this little thing called rehab, physical therapy. Some of y'all have been through that before. Why? Because your body has to learn how. Is that what happened to this guy? His legs, the broken part, gets restored. But everything knows how to work. You know why? Because that's healing that comes from Jesus, not from anything else. And he picks up his mat and he walks. And the religious leaders, it's so funny to me, they get mad at him for picking up his mat and walking out with his mat. Here's the ridiculous part. And here's what proves that their strength was in themselves and not of God. It's not against the law to carry your mat. I went back and read. There's no Jewish law that says you can't carry a mat on the Sabbath. These guys were mad because Jesus did something that they didn't do outside of the realm of what they could conceive. And he fixed brokenness holistically, not just in his legs. And now this guy had something to stand on, and his faith was strengthened, and he was doing good things that he was supposed to do. Almost like the gospel from what Paul tells us. See, you were not saved because of your good works, but you were saved to do good works in him who strengthened you and made you whole again. The last set of people we got to get to, I know, I'm sorry. Those who are hurting. Can I just pause for a second? This is everybody. I know we when we started out today, we talked about those who are out there and those who are out there. But this, as I read through this more and more, this is all of us. Those who are hurting. Spiritually, what this looks like is spiritually wounded and bleeding out. And I've got to read this text because this is one of the most skipped over miracles of Jesus, I think, in all of Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 22, verses 49 through 51. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." He touched the man's ear and healed him. See, this is spiritually people who they have faith. Maybe they've been exposed to the gospel. They've been exposed to what it means to live a life that glorifies God. But at some point in time, they prayed a prayer and God didn't answer their prayer the way that they wanted it answered. These are people who meant that they had a plan, they had an idea, and they thought that this is what God wanted for them. But all of a sudden, something happened and it's just a flesh wound. But what happens after a while is it starts to bleed out. And the more blood they lose and the more that this wound stays there, the weaker they get in their faith. The less involved they become and concerned with the things of God because they've been hurt. Because they were wounded. And it's a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a fatal wound. It's not a critical kill shot in Call of Duty. It's not any of those things. It's just a small little cut from a sword. But Christ came to heal those hurts too. And when it says that Jesus healed him, he removes the hurt, but he also stops the bleeding. I watched one of my daughters get their ear. Well, I kind of watched one of my daughters get their ears pierced. I'm not an ear person, but to me that just sounds painful. I can't imagine it. I wouldn't necessarily want to do it. I'm good without it. Ear being sliced off, can't wrap my head around that. That's some Van Gogh stuff that just goes beyond me. But Jesus doesn't just take the pain away. He replaces the ear and he stops the bleeding. And church, if I can give you one more word of caution here before we move on. Who's this come from? This comes from the followers of Christ. See, in our culture, this looks like church hurt. Y'all ever hear that word? I can't go to church there. I was talking to Brett yesterday. I can't go to church there because that person goes to church there and they hurt me at some point in time. Other gospels tell us this is Peter. The disciple Peter is the one who cuts this guy's ear off. Those closest to Christ are the ones inflicting harm on other people. As we step into 2026, and our goal is to not just alleviate temporary circumstances, but to help people get to healing spiritually, we need to be very careful that we're not running out with daggers cutting people's ears off spiritually. That what we do, everything that we say, everything that we stand for, everything that we do speaks about the healing spiritual love of Jesus Christ. Your job is not to clean anyone. Your job is not to fix anyone. Your job is not to restore anyone. That's his job. You know what we get to be? The hand that reaches out to him. The invitation that says, hey, listen, I know you can't see which direction to go. Let me take you there. The person who sees the lame person and says, listen, I can't fix you, but let me get you the pool where somebody can. We need to make sure that we're the people who are helping heal, not inflicting the hurt. Maybe this morning you've thought of somebody in your life, in your mind, as we've got through these people, and you've said, you know what, man, that's where this person is. I want to challenge you in 2026 to be intentional about it then. If you see somebody else, or you know a family member, or you know a friend, or you know somebody in your life who fits one of these categories, understand, you get to be a part of helping them be restored, be made whole, be healed. Maybe this morning you've seen yourself in one of these people. You said, man, I didn't realize this, but my faith is kind of broken. I've got no strength. I've got nothing to stand on. And really, this morning, Jesus, I need you to strengthen me. Maybe this morning you didn't realize it, but spiritually you're kind of blind. You follow all the TikTokers, all the influencers, all the videos that people tell you these different things. And listen, there's some good guys out there who preach some good stuff in a very short amount of time. You got me, sorry. But if that's the only thing that you direct yourself with spiritually, is that, be careful. Because you might be going in a very different direction from where Jesus is going. Maybe this morning you have no spiritual direction in your life. I don't know. Maybe this morning you're hurt. Maybe somebody at some point in time did something to you. Maybe it was a follower of Christ. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe God didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted, something like that. I don't know. This morning, can I tell you, his goal, his purpose in coming was not just to alleviate circumstances and situations, to heal you completely from the inside out. This morning, if this is you, during this time of invitation, man, just spend some time talking to him. Spend some time saying, God, that's me. I'm broken. I'm blind. I'm hurting. Maybe this morning, you never had a relationship with Christ. You are that person that is without God. No way of gaining access into his presence or his having anything to do with him. And this morning, you need to be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever God's doing in your heart, I pray that you'll be obedient to it now during our time of worship. Father, thank you for today. God, I pray that as we have looked over these stories, God, there were reminders of us, reminders for us. One, Lord, of who we all have been. At some point in time, we were all unclean. We've all been blind. Lord, we've been broken. We've been hurt. But through the love, the mercy, the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross, God, we have been restored. We've been made whole. So God, I pray that as we leave here today, we would leave with the one mission, with one mind, united in the cry of not just circumstantial help, but God, spiritual healing for our community, for our parish, for our state, our country, and our world. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do in this time. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.